Okay, let's dive into something really vital, but well, clearly under intense pressure, the UK's social care sector.
Absolutely.
The sources we've looked at, they paint this picture of a system sort of caught in what's being called a doom loop,
That's the phrase from the King's Fund, yeah.
where, increasing costs actually lead to less support for people who need it. And maybe surprisingly, there's data suggesting families looking for care homes. They often prioritize things like, well, dining options or even the pet policy over the official CQC ratings.
That disconnect is really striking, isn't it? Right
Yeah.
from the start, it tells you this isn't a straightforward problem.
Definitely not.
So our deep dive today is looking into recent reports, recent analysis on this pretty complex landscape. We're looking at the key pressures, funding, workforce, regulation, and what the sources suggest about, well, the path forward.
Right, so let's unpack that doom loop idea first. The King's Fund analysis seems pretty stark here.
It is.
It shows costs going up, driven by things like the national living wage that's increasing to £12.21 from April 2025, right? And higher employer national insurance.
Exactly. And the core insight from these sources is how this squeezes local authorities because they fund most of the care.
Right.
They're paying more per person for the care they commission. In fact, some sources note provider fees from LAs have jumped significantly, maybe up to 33% in real terms for some.
Wow, 33%.
But, and here's the crunch. Because their overall budgets just aren't keeping pace, they're actually forced to cut the number of people they support.
Even though demand is rising.
Even though demand is rising, get this, the number receiving long-term support actually dropped, went from about 873,000 down to 859,000.
So more money spent per person, but fewer people actually getting help overall.
That's the doom loop Simon Bodary was talking about. Rising costs don't mean more care, they mean less access for some people. It's counterintuitive, but that's the reality shown here.
And a huge part of this pressure comes down to the workforce, doesn't it? The staffing
Yeah.
crisis.
Oh, massively. Community Integrated Care, CIC, they found something quite staggering. A social care worker on, say, £12 an hour. They take home over £7,100 less per year than someone in a similar NHS role.
£7,000 less.
Yeah.
That's
It
huge.
is. And that gap, the sources make it clear, it isn't just about fairness, though. It is that, too. It's a root cause of the sector's crippling staff shortage.
You see the numbers, high turnover, what, 26.5% and 131,000 empty jobs.
Exactly. And think of the cost of trying to fill them. Providers spent maybe $100 million last year just on online job ads, often with poor applicants, people not showing up for interviews. The total hiring cost last year was estimated at £3 billion for 440,000 staff, and then nearly a third of those leave within a year.
It's just a constant churn, a massive drain on resources.
It really is. And while there's talk of a government fair pay agreement, that's not expected until 2027.
So quite a way off.
Yeah. So groups like CIC are pushing for an immediate interim pay rise now. They estimate a 50p an hour increase would cost about $723 million net a year.
Significant money, but you can see why they'd argue it's needed to stabilize things.
Precisely. Now, moving from the general workforce issues, there's also this specific problem highlighted by the Low Pay Commission around sleep-in shifts.
Ah, yes, I saw that. What's the issue there?
Well, the sources explain that after a Supreme Court ruling, care workers doing these overnight sleep-ins, where they have to be present but might be asleep for parts, they aren't legally entitled to the national minimum wage for the whole shift.
Even though they have to be there and available.
Right. It hinges on the legal definition of working time during those shifts. The commission is urging the government to sort this out in future policy.
Because the pay can be really low, can't it?
Extremely low. They cite examples like £6 an hour, or maybe just a flat rate of £80 for a whole night, clearly not sustainable for workers.
Okay, so huge pressures on funding, huge pressures on staffing. How's the regulator, the CQC, holding up amidst all this?
Well, the reports we looked at suggest some serious challenges there, too. There's talk of serious failings and a substantial loss of credibility.
Why is that?
Partly, it seems, because the number of inspections they're doing has plummeted from maybe 15,000 or 20,000 a year down to just over 3,000.
Wow, that's a massive drop.
It is. And this seems to directly affect how useful families find the CQC ratings when they're looking for care.
You mentioned that earlier, the dining choices and pet policies being more important.
Exactly. Data from Autumna, a care home search platform, is quite telling. Families searching are far more interested in practical things. Dining choices get 8.8% interest, activities 5.8%, even pet policies 3.6%.
And the CQC rating?
Only 3.3%.
That's incredible. And the sources suggest it's because the inspections can be really out of date.
Yeah, sometimes years old, maybe up to 7 years, according to one source. So families are looking at the day-to-day stuff that affects quality of life right now rather than a potentially old rating. Debbie Harris from Autumna makes that point quite clearly.
Okay, so it's a tough picture. But are there any sort of brighter spots, investment, innovation?
Yes. Despite the challenges, the sources do mention ongoing market activity. There are U.S. investors interested, acquisitions happening, and there's definitely a growing focus on ESG factors, environmental, social, governance, and care home investment.
Like what?
Things like Target Healthcare REIT, highlighting their portfolio's good energy efficiency ratings, or ensuring homes have wet rooms for residents. It's becoming part of the investment case.
And technology.
Technology, too. Companies like Sarah mentioned using AI for remote monitoring to try and cut hospitalizations.
Yeah.
Other tech is focused on helping with staff retention, making admin easier, that kind of thing.
So if we pull all this together, the bigger picture.
The bigger picture is that social care is absolutely essential. It contributes, what, $68 billion to the economy? And it takes huge pressure off the NHS. But the reports are unanimous. Dramatic reform is needed.
Which means?
Rethinking how care is commissioned. Maybe looking at models like Australia's subsidies or Japan's provider caps, or even local approaches like Sheffield's contracts that aim for more stability, embracing technology more fully.
And crucially, having that honest conversation about funding.
Absolutely. You see the impact of rising costs, like that national insurance increase not being fully covered by local authority fees. It leads providers to consider refusing new packages just to stay viable.
There was that Stoke-on-Trent court case too, wasn't there? Reinforcing that councils have to set fees that allow providers to be sustainable.
Exactly. So what does all this mean for you, the listener? Well, this deep dive really shows a sector under immense strain, rising costs, a workforce crisis, regulatory question marks.
And that affects everyone, right? Access to care, the people providing it, the homes themselves, and the NHS we all rely on.
Definitely. Whether you're looking for care, working in it, or just thinking about how we fund it as a society.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. If families looking for care are prioritizing whether mom can bring her cat or what the Sunday lunch options are more than the official regulatory rating, what does that really tell us about how we currently define and measure quality in social care? And maybe how might that need to change?